This hour of Kevin Miller in the Morning is brought to you by Tway Travel, your adventure travel specialists, fighting for America.
Good morning, Treasure Valley.
Well, the Valley Women and Children's Shelter has been open since the beginning of February now. We are in need of pretty much everything you use in your day-to-day life, times about 500.
Fighting for Idaho.
Well, I just want to say thank you to you, First Miller, and the generous people of Treasure Valley for keeping the rescue mission lights on and helping us through the summer here.
Fighting for you.
Kevin, I want to say this, and I mean this sincerely. In English translation, that means I know the kind of man you are by the way you walk.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning.
Thank you all. I wish I would have dressed up.
On 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the Morning. Chris Troupas with us. Talk a little bit about the future of the Republic. Good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning, Kevin.
You know, we apologize. We only had you on for an abbreviated period of time. For people not familiar with you, you ran for the Attorney General. You've been an attorney. You're fighting for America. So what was it like to jump into the arena, going from Joe Citizen to Joe Public?
You know, I think it was a wonderful experience, and I guess getting to know all of the people around the state of Idaho was the best part of the experience for me. It was a challenge. But it showed just how vibrant our country can really be if people will just get involved. And I'm glad I did it. I really am glad I did it, even though obviously I wasn't successful. But I think I was successful in a lot of ways in both finding out the dynamics of the political process and getting to connect with people. And I hope inspiring some people who otherwise wouldn't consider running for office to take part and help take their country back.
580 KIDO, is that possible? The last time we talked, it was funny. You go, well, Kevin, you might be right. It might be over, but, you know, we can't give up.
You know what, Kevin? I thought a lot about your last comment for the last couple of days, and I have to admit, I am more cynical than hopeful these days.
That's what we like, cynicism, yes.
Well, you know, I hope it's productive cynicism. I feel that the threat has become ever more real, and what I'm most concerned about is the apathy and lack of involvement of the great majority of Americans. And, you know, we did see a lot of people in Idaho getting more involved, but we are a dreadful minority. And I don't know how you change that. And so I am cynical. I'm also cynical as I watch the things like the executive orders going forward on, you know, the EPA. And it just seems to be business as usual, doesn't it? Where's the outrage?
Well, you see what's going on in Arizona and everywhere else where people aren't enforcing the immigration laws. You have a judge saying, quite frankly, the government has refused to defend the laws, to obey the laws.
But nobody is even stunned about it anymore. Nobody is shocked. Nobody is upset. These are things that if they had happened a few years ago, people would be outraged. They'd be jumping up and down. They would be threatening revolution, for heaven's sake. And yet today, it's, well, that's what you expect, and the federal government's going to do what it's going to do. And so, yes, I am more cynical, and I am more concerned. And as I sit here and ponder what the next steps are for me, it was like, okay, Lord, why did you have me involved in this, and what really is there for me to do?
Right. Because you would like to be like everybody else, live your life, have a good time, do whatever. And then all of a sudden, boom, you're in the forum. Let's get back to why it's important that we obey the laws and we follow the laws. You yourself are an officer of the court. For those of us that aren't, that get our legal education through Law and Order and everything else, why is it important?
Well, I think that if you don't have respect for the law, you'll start justifying any kind of behavior and rationalizing away any kind of behavior. And that's why even if a law is unjust, you follow it until you can change it. Go through the process. I have a great deal of respect for a system of laws. It's what we're not seeing on the national level right now, as we see executive orders and bypassing Congress and doing things with basically impunity for the legal process. We have to get back to that, or we're lost as a republic.
Even in Idaho.
Even in Idaho.
Well, what's our situation in Idaho compared to the country?
Well, it isn't as apparent or as obvious. In other words, we don't have the same kind of arrogance on the national level where our president seems to be able to say, I don't care. I've got a pen and I've got a forum or a phone and that's all I need. We don't have a governor doing that. But we have cronyism. We have backroom deals. We have lobbyists who are given preferential treatment and who are given control of the process. We saw that at the Ada County Central Committee, where most of our delegates are lobbyists. Lobbyists or people who have greased the wheels. And that shouldn't be. But it is the same kind of cronyism and corruption that we've seen on the federal level. It's just not as obvious yet. They aren't as arrogant about it yet, but it's getting there.
Indeed. Chris Troupas, let's continue on here at 580KIDO. What do you expect at the convention this week?
Well, unfortunately, I know there's going to be a big fight. I haven't counted all the numbers up yet. It's going to be very close whether or not we're able to keep the chairman, Barry Peterson. I sure hope we do. The two opponents, Mr. Sayre, Mr. Duff, I don't think either of those two people would be helpful for the party. I think that they...
Now, why do you say that? They are running. They are Republicans. Why do you say that? That's a pretty tough charge there, Counselor.
Well, I think that at least as to Mr. Sayre, he's the governor's pick. I mean, he's definitely an establishment man. I don't know that much about Mike Duff, except that in eastern Idaho, he certainly doesn't have the support of all of the conservative wing of the party. I think that from what I've heard, he's been a bit divisive, but I don't know him personally, so I don't want to pass judgment on him. My feeling is that if we are unable to keep Barry Peterson as chairman, and if the only other alternatives are Sayre or Duff, that the conservatives are going to think about abandoning ship and leaving the party. And I think that would be a big mistake, but they would be definitely in a minority, And I don't know how cooperative they're going to be in the fall if our governor wants to be reelected and this slate of candidates that have been aptly called rhinos. I don't know that they're going to get the support of the conservatives.
580KIDO, Chris Troupas with us, Kevin Miller in the morning. Let's get back to the state of the Republican Party. Why is this an issue if you're a lib, if you're an agnostic, if you're a Democrat? It seems to be getting a lot of attention. Why is this important?
Well, it's a good question. You know, the Democrats have been chasing this bus for a long time. But the question is, if they get it, you know, it's like the dog that chases the bus. And once he catches it, what's he going to do with it? We will have a Republican legislature. If we have a Democrat governor, we're going to have a stalemate between the two. I think that what we're seeing in the Republican Party continues and we have a breakdown of the basic political process, we're going to have a chaos in Idaho. The Democrats aren't ready to take over this state. They may think they are, but they're not. And if they do, we're going to even in some of the executive branch, we're going to have a big problem in getting any business done in Idaho. So I think they ought to be concerned. And I think they also ought to be concerned for the viability of the party system. Everybody has made this a fight over closed primaries, but really it's over the viability of the party system, which is a basic First Amendment right. It's what guarantees the republic will last.
Well, the critics of the governor would say that the lobbyists have too much influence. So, Chris Troupas, you're going to be the information, the entertainment czar here this morning with Kevin Miller at 580KIDO. And we're going to ask you the big question, which does not represent the will of the people, the governor and the lobbyist or Belukov and the Dems? That's what we have to pick from, right?
That's all that we have to pick from, except for there was one letter in the Statesman that I saw that a couple people recommended voting for John Bujak.
Bujak's running wild, too. We're still chasing Bujak.
I don't think he's going to get too many votes. But, okay, so if that's the choice between the two, my feeling would be that if we had a Democratic governor, our legislature would have to develop a backbone, and that's not a bad thing.
You're saying they don't have a backbone now.
No, because whatever the governor wants, basically he gets. And that's been the big battle. And that's what he wants to continue. And, you know, I think we've reached just about the end of that scenario. I don't think that people are willing to stand for that anymore, at least the people that I represent, the conservative faction of the party.
could you be in the minority, considering that you fought and lost, and everybody, all the other conservatives lost, with the exception of Lawrence Denny, that benefited from a four-person race?
You know, I could be a faithful minority and support the party if the majority members of the party would simply support most of our platform. Now, I understand there may be some differences on the platform, but I think they have to be honest with the minority. They have to listen to the minority, and they have to try reasonably to compromise to represent Republican values. I don't see that happening. I don't see that happening in the pushing back the federal government, on competing with private industry, on representing ordinary people like you and me, as opposed to these big lobbyists. I just don't see it. I see instead, you know, special backroom deals and all of these, the big moneyed interests are the only people that get represented in our government, and that's just wrong.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. Let's continue on, though, Chris Drupas. And I go to the idea that Mr. Belukoff is out there looming, and you say the legislature will have to get a backbone, but what happens if it's four more years of Governor Otto? Do you believe that he'll serve four more years?
Boy, there's a good question. And I have never thought that he would serve another 4 years. I thought that he'd probably get elected, and in about middle part of next year, he would decide he wants to ride off into the sunset, and we would have Mr. Little for the rest of the term. I still think that's probably what's going to happen. And, you know, we could survive with that. You know, we'll survive in any event. And Idaho will move forward. I know that the people that I talk to all across the state still will be fighting for our freedoms and fighting to preserve Idaho in whatever capacity we can, as a minority, as dissidents.
Well, as a member of some other political party?
Possibly. But
how realistic is that, Chris Drupas?
I just don't think that's very realistic right now.
Well, you just threatened it about 10 minutes ago.
It's true, I did.
But if that threat is not legitimate, how can the establishment be fear it?
Well, I think it's a legitimate threat. The question is it in the best interest of Republicans?
Is it in the best interest of the state?
That's a real good question. And I think that if, in fact, the Republican Party has gone off the rails, and if the Republican Party is committed and addicted to cronyism and representing only the lobbyists, I think the only option is create a third party, force the people to choose between people with principle and those without. So, yes, I think it's a legitimate – it's a scary proposition for me, but it's a legitimate one, and I think it's very likely that it'll happen.
More coming up with Chris Drupas here. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO.
Kevin, I want to give you a big shout-out, a big thank you for all you do. Good morning, Kevin, and from the bottom of my heart, thank you for all you do. You go above and beyond, Kevin. You make a real positive difference in the community. I just want to thank you because I appreciate it. I don't always get the facts, so I like hearing it, so thanks.
Kevin, stay fired up. We love you out there. We're glad you're there. We're glad you're doing a good job. And encourage Sean Hannity to move to Idaho.
Earning your trust every morning. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, Chris Drupas, Kevin Miller, men of the world, if you will, talking good old fashioned politics. How big was it for you to get the endorsement of Mr. Heller?
Oh, I thought that was wonderful, and that I got his endorsement. He's a great man. I really enjoyed meeting him. Very down to earth, and you know. It was important for me to get his endorsement. I don't know what it did as far as the votes or the outcome of the election. But for me, you know, I just thought that the NRA basically endorsed an incumbent. They made a decision based upon, you know, who's going to win this election, who's most likely to win, and where should we put our money, basically. And it no longer represents what the Second Amendment represents. And so for Dick Heller to come to town and say, you know, Chris Drupas is the guy who represents the Second Amendment. He's the one who will defend your rights. That meant a lot to me. That meant a lot.
What could you have done different to win, if anything?
I think number one, I did not get my name out sufficiently. I think this was all a matter of name ID. And number one, if I had been in the race for two more months, we were gaining rapidly. I think we could have done that. Number two, there was an independent mailing that went out that was negative on my opponent. I think, and of course, I didn't have any control over the mailing. Didn't see it till it after it went out. But my preference would have been that instead of doing that, if they'd done a mailing with my name on it to give me more name ID,
could they have done that legally?
I think they could. Anybody independent can do whatever they want. They can say good things or bad things about you, or nothing at all. It turned out this independent mailing only mentioned Mr. Wasden and didn't mention me at all. I think it helped his name ID. And so if that had happened, those two things, I think that getting in the race earlier, and doing that other to increase my name ID, I think I could have won the election. Because every place I went, I met people who didn't know me or were supporting Mr. Wasden, and every time I left a room, I had 99% of the people saying that they were supporting me and very, very enthusiastically.
All right, at 580KIDO, let's get back to this. A question we asked you last week. Okay, you endorsed him, then you did endorse him. What's up with that?
Well, you know, I reluctantly endorsed him because I said I would and I meant it, and I would have supported him. But when the Democrat candidate for AG came out and said, "There's no difference between the two of us, and I'm basically endorsing him myself," I thought
that doesn't make sense.
How can I do that? How can I support a Democrat? I mean, and all I said in my withdrawal of the endorsement was, I want to hear from Mr. Wasden that he is not a Democrat. I want to hear why. And I still haven't heard. Haven't heard him say one thing about this is the Republican values I support and defend. I still want to hear that.
Well, let's talk some legal issues, shall we?
Sure.
What about the gays?
Well, unfortunately, in reviewing the decision, I think that the state botched the case. I think the state of Idaho botched the gay marriage case. Now, I have to say that with a grain of salt because the other states have lost their cases too. But if you compare the way that Idaho lost its case and the other states, what you'll find is the judge in Idaho, Candy Dale, said the state didn't present a single valid argument to defend its constitution. And if you read her decision, she bootstraps the definition of marriage to the definition of marriage as being between a man and a woman. It basically, the Windsor case said that the definition of marriage is up to the states, but they said marriage is a fundamental right. But the federal government can't say who you can marry, only that marriage is a fundamental right, then it's up to the states to define what marriage is.
Well, then why would a federal judge have the ability to overturn it then?
It was bootstrapping. But Idaho did not make the arguments necessary to preserve that for an appeal to the Ninth Circuit of the United States Supreme Court. Our attorney general handed off the case to an attorney with a couple years' experience, and that argument was apparently never made. And I am concerned that Idaho may have put itself in a position where it cannot properly defend our Constitution if the case does go to the U.S. Supreme Court.
Let's throw in the political with the legal here, Chris Troupas. Many years ago, and I remember when I was in Pittsburgh, I used to get into a debate with the late Fred Hansberger, God rest his soul, when I'd say, you know, we need to protect marriage. And he goes, no, Kevin, you already have a constitutional amendment. I go, that's not going to stop. And you had the right that had this movement across the country that, in fact, they organized their forces, heck, even in California, to get these on the ballot. Now we see it's not a coincidence, is it, that the left has launched these lawsuits overturning state constitutions.
Absolutely. No, this was the next step, and everybody saw it coming, so you pegged that exactly right. And the only answer to that, and the question is whether or not the Supreme Court is just bowing to the perceived what is politically correct. Certainly not the will of the majority, but at least what's perceived as being correct in the political wave. In order to defend against that, you have to present the Supreme Court with discrete, narrow arguments that allow them to defend their constitutions. And instead, this case has become across the country. It's been defended on broad equal protection grounds. in liberty.
Which everybody predicted that's where they would go.
Right. And so in order to win the debate, you have to get beyond the premise. You have to go back to, no, this isn't about equal protection. We'll deal with equal protection on other in other areas, and we can take care of that other ways. Our legislature can take care of that. We have to define marriage. All this is about is the definition of marriage. You may end up then with civil unions or some other kind of procedure, legislation that allows the same benefits, like the same tax benefits, same inheritance benefits, same adoption rights, but not calling it marriage.
Well, that was the argument originally for Vermont civil unions. We heard this, oh, we don't want to have marriage. We don't want to have this. We just want to have the same rights. And now, boom, that seems like 50 years ago.
It does seem like 50 years ago. But that's where it's going. We can all see that's where it's going, and I don't see any way back from that at this point. I think that that we may be able to defend the definition of marriage if we're lucky. I don't think we get beyond that. You know, I was always of the opinion that it was never up to the states or the federal government to define marriage. I thought it was a matter of between you and God, and I thought it was a church issue. So when
But that's next to force the churches to do these ceremonies.
Yes, it is. And I've already drafted draft policies and bylaws for churches in the Treasure Valley, and I've made them available free to churches so that they can protect themselves from the next onslaught. I've provided it to my church, Eagle Christian, and provided it to other churches as well, and it's available to anyone that wants it for free, any church, because I think that if you do not have policies in place that express the faith basis of and the biblical basis for marriage, you are prone to being attacked if and when this is finalized.
More coming up with Chris Troupas. Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO.
News.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays noon till 3 on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Hi, I'm KIDO. Kevin Miller with you here. Chris Troupas, as we move along, former candidate for attorney general, attorney, someone who's setting us straight legally. Let's get back to marriage for a minute. What was your view of the Windsor case from the Supreme Court, number one, and just the rhetoric coming out from, I can't remember which justice that said that you, if you believe in traditional marriage between a man and a woman, you're a bigot.
Well, I can't remember which judge said that either. Probably was Kennedy. I don't know.
They were harsh.
Yeah, they were very harsh. And I just think that should never come out of the Supreme Court. I mean, you know, they're supposed to be an apolitical institution, and they're showing their colors very, very vividly. And I didn't like that in the Windsor case. I've not liked that in the DOMA case and in other cases as well.
Well, let's go with DOMA and Windsor since they were both connected. The administration, I think this is unprecedented, chose not to adhere to their constitutional duty, which is to defend the law.
Right. I think it's tantamount to treason. I really do. I think that, you know, you have not just an ethical duty, you have a constitutional responsibility to defend the law.
And so the DOMA case was that a private group could not defend it. That's how they whiffed on that one. So it went back to the libs.
They didn't have standing to defend it, and the attorney general in California wouldn't defend it. And so the Ninth Circuit didn't even address the standing issue, sent it up to the Supreme Court. They said, aha, we could leave this decision in place because you didn't have a right to come here.
Right. Never mind that even in liberal California, marriage was defended. What's the impact legally, ethically, morally on that?
Well, unfortunately, I think the biggest impact is that the public who voted down the gay rights amendment twice in California end up with their rights completely trampled upon by the court and ignored. And that's the practical effect. But in addition, I think that it takes judicial activism to the next level. And it means our Constitution is this vague, viscous document that nobody really knows what it is and where it who it serves. And again, it's governed by man, not by laws. I think that's the road that we're traveling down. And unfortunately, I see it expanding into a lot of other areas.
Chris Troupas with us, Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO. Let's go to the Windsor case then. Mm-hmm. Your reaction to Windsor?
Well, I thought the decision was the right one. In that all that the Windsor court said was that here we have a state law that defines marriage in one way, and in that state they define marriage as including same-sex marriage, and the Supreme Court says we decline to say that is unconstitutional because it is not up to us and the federal bench to define marriage. It is up to the states to define marriage.
Then why are all these...
It's exactly the reverse. It is exactly the reverse. Because in the Windsor case, what Judge Dale, the magistrate judge in Idaho, said in her opinion was that Windsor stands for the proposition that marriage is a fundamental right. You have a fundamental right to marry. Now, you'll never see that in the Constitution, by the way. There's no place in the Constitution that says you have a fundamental right to marry. And if that's what Windsor said, what she did then was to expand that to say, and what that means is that you then can't deny the right to marry to anybody, to marry whomever he pleases or she pleases. Well, the next step is, of course, marriage between an adult and a minor. You know, a human being and a non-human being,
right?
Or numbers, or between three or four or five or ten individuals together. You know, if you say that marriage is a fundamental right and that includes you can't deny anybody the equal right to marry anybody they please or as many people as they please or whomever, it eviscerates the right. Eviscerate state constitutions.
Right. Let me hit you with this. Here is what from Scalia's dissent in Windsor. By formally declaring anyone opposed to same-sex marriage as an enemy of human decency, the majority aims well every challenger to a state law restricting marriage to its traditional definition. Henceforth, those challengers will lead with this court's declaration that there is no legitimate purpose served by such law and will claim that the traditional definition has the purpose and effect to disparage and to injure the personhood and dignity of same-sex couples. The majority's limiting assurance will be meaningless in the face of language like that, as the majority well knows that is why the language is there.
Yep, and Scalia is his prognostications often come true. His dissents are you need to read his dissents very carefully because that's exactly he predicted where the court would go, and he was in a dissent. So understandably, the majority was looking at him and saying, "Oh no, we're not going to go there. They're not going to go there." And immediately, in the number of states, we've had the Scalia's predictions come true. And you know, that to just jump off this topic just for a second, Scalia also dissented in the Washington Grange case, the two-party or the top two vote-getters primary case. And he said, if this stands, if the Washington primary allowing the top two vote-getters stands, it'll eventually hijack the party's brand so that people can run as a Republican or a Democrat without being members of the party just by saying so and vote. And basically it'll eviscerate the party system. And we're seeing that happen as well.
580 KIDO, Chris Troupas. So let's get back to this issue, whether it's Idaho, Utah. This will have to be decided because apparently there are four lesbians that can overturn a state law, or six lesbians in Idaho, and gosh knows how many there. That's just how it is. You have six people that have overturned the will of the people
right here
in Idaho. So the Supreme Court ducked Windsor. They ducked DOMA. This will come back to the Supreme Court. How will that play out?
Well, all the cases have the same plaintiff scenario. I mean, if you take – I haven't looked at all of them, but the ones that I've looked at all have these different couples in with presenting each of the different aspects of equal protection. So they're all going to go up to the Supreme Court or the request for certiorari to the Supreme Court from the different districts, and they'll all go up with the same fact situation, which means that the Supreme Court has a classic – question of law answered differently in some of the circuits, but presenting an unresolved constitutional question with no factual dispute. So it's ideal question for the Supreme Court to decide. They'll definitely take one. Will they take Idaho's versus Utah's versus Indiana's or Ohio's? I don't know. I would think that the Utah case has the highest likelihood of advancing, because when they take Ninth Circuit cases, they take them in order to reverse 88% of the time. And I don't see this one getting reversed.
Well, on that one, we'll continue on with Chris Troupas here. He's just full of good news. Kevin Miller in the Morning, 580 KIDO. We'll continue to talk a little bit more about our government and work in Idaho and across America. Let's get you to work safely and on time. That means weather from Channel 7, of course. In addition to that, traffic with Dave Burnett. Let's get you to work safely and on time.
Sean Hannity, weekday afternoons at 3 on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Talking about the future of marriage and all that is good in the Republic, at least for now. Chris Troupas with us. Kevin Miller in the Morning, 580 KIDO. Now, getting back to the Supreme Court, will you say they won't duck gay marriage? You left us moments ago saying that it's pretty much over for traditional marriage in America.
I think so. I think that...
culturally, how far have we come that we could even say that? We couldn't say that 5 years ago. Heck, we couldn't say it 2 years ago.
No. And I think that the decline, the fall, it's like an avalanche. We've come over the precipice and we're just going down very, very quickly. I mean, I wish I could say as an attorney looking at the case, the only answer to Windsor at the time was, okay, our state constitutions are going to be upheld, and it's a definition of marriage. I mean, how clearer could you get than the majority saying it's up to the states to define marriage? Okay, we've defined marriage, and now they're saying, wait a minute, you can't define marriage this way.
Well, everybody said it, right afterwards. Look for everyone to file lawsuits using the 14th Amendment.
Right. But see, if the state – that's the problem of our not understanding federalism. The state constitution is not completely subservient to the federal constitution. If it is, we no longer have a system of federalism.
Some would say we don't already.
Yeah, and I think that that's the problem.
So is it is the state constitution, the state government – kind of like a version of the co-equal branches of government that really don't exist anymore either?
I think so.
Are they supposed to be arm in arm with the federal constitution? Is that how it works?
Well, there's supposed to be certain areas that the state constitution can regulate that the federal government can't. As you know, that our federal constitution is a federal government's a government of limited powers, enumerated powers. Nowhere in those enumerated powers does it say you get to define marriage. Of course, nowhere in those powers does it say you get to run our education system either. but there we have
but
it.
But it's not. What about the emotional argument that's used by the press, Chris Troupas? It's not fair. No equal rights. It's not fair.
You know, there is nothing fair or unfair about our Constitution. It is simply what we have declared to be the law of the land. And in fact, if you talk about fairness, you know, the best example of a democracy is a lynch mob. You know, that's the will of the majority is the lynch mob. But unfortunately, fairness is one of those concepts that I think that if you don't have a strong faith in God, you don't understand what's really fair, what's right and what's wrong. And we've gone a long way from right and wrong to this relativistic notion that it's right if it helps me out. And so fairness is the same way. If I don't like it, then it's not fair to me, even though it may be the right thing.
Well, yes, again, explain that to everybody demonstrating and everything else and how we're rewriting history. There's an HBO documentary coming out talking about, we have to overturn Prop 8 and it's this generation's civil rights, which is amazing. Chris Troupas, how important is the Supreme Court? And are you disappointed that we've had all these Republicans in and we still, with the exception of guns, have gone backwards when it comes to culture?
Oh, I'm very disappointed, and I'm really disappointed that the Republicans that we've gotten in office, so few of them appear directed by principles, and so many of them seem to go to Washington and get completely tied up in this, the
Potomac fever.
There you go. You know, in the Beltway, and unfortunately. It seems like that is now expanding to every level of government. And we need people of principle. We need people who they understand it is a sacred trust and treat it that way. And it needs to be that in our justices in the Supreme Court as well. I think instead of doing this, being involved in intellectual arguments and intellectual expositions of what the documents mean, I think they ought to go back to the original intent and understand our country could only survive because we had Christian men and women who founded it and believed in it and stood for it. If we no longer stand upon those Christian biblical principles, for everybody, that is for people who aren't Christian as well as Christians, I think our republic is doomed. And I think we will become no different than every other society that, you know, whatever you can get away with, you get away with.
Well, and society won't last long. Let's get back to, in the few minutes that we have remaining here, about two, your predictions for Governor Otter versus A.J. Belukoff, who's conducting a stealth yet social media campaign, doesn't do a lot of appearances, and is looking to ride the educational issue to the governor's mansion.
Well, you know, I mean, the safe money bet would be that Governor Otter will still win, albeit by a very narrow margin over Mr. Belukoff. I hope he does. I mean, I hope that we still have a Republican in office, in every office in the state. And I hope that if they do win by very narrow margins, they understand that they need to build coalitions and they need to come back and be responsive to the people.
All right, Chris Troupas, any other predictions that you would like to share with us?
As I finish this campaign, even after losing it, I realized I decided to run because I felt convicted in my heart that it was something I needed to do. And so even though I lost, I'm now searching for, okay, what was it that I was supposed to accomplish and how can I be a positive influence and force on the people that know me and respect me? And so that's what I'm going to be looking at. I'm going to retain my hope out of government in trying to be a positive force for good in Idaho.
And Chris Troupas, we'd love to have you back.
Thank you very much. I'd love to be back, Kevin. Enjoy talking to you and your listeners.